Right. Okay. So we are last week, and we're going to finish up the discussion this week about the topic of bread pasachim when there's nothing else around, when there is stuff around, what amount of other stuff there is around, etc. So that's why the Beis Yosef is Ches Gimel through Dalad. What's covered in this little sif? We've actually covered this already. We've learned this together already, but it was covered in Sif Gimel and Dalad. Now we're going to, and Sif Ches has one more piece that it adds on. So it quotes from the Tshuvas Ashkenazis, right? The Afilu, the Shas Tshuvas Maril, right? You have that. That's the spot, right? The Afilu v'pas shel bal habayis hitir de lo chamiri gezeira bas dema. That even the pas of bal habayis, that this Tshuvas of Ashkenazis is permissible, permits even a non-Jew bal habayis' bread, because we don't have the gezeira. The gezeira is not more chamer than demai, and I forget what that comparison was, but we see that we have the ability to be makel when it comes to pasachim. Okay, so that's shita's ma'aril. However, not everyone else is as makel as that. B'chin kasev orachos chayim b'shem hara'a the chomakum she'ein palter matzui klal. If you don't have a baker at all, mutar filu pasha bali batim, you're even allowed to have the bread of the bali batim, meaning a non-Jewish homeowner. But you have to go and eat it outside of town. In kan iser kevan shehu chutz le'ir shivim amos. Even if you're in the tchum is 2,000 amos. You don't have to go 2,000 amos out, but you definitely have to go chutz le'ir, which is at least 70 amos and 2/3 or something. B'shirayim and 2/3. Shouldn't do it. If some might remember, there's the Gemara at the end of that Gemara that talks about some Tana, somebody, one of the people in the Gemara ate it, and people yelled at him, and he was like, no good, etc. So, your Talmud Chacham, don't do it. However, the Ra'ah continues on and says as follows: Ukvar katan she'ein bo palta Yisrael below Goy. If there's no baker at all, harehu kesada. Right, that town is like a. It's like Yisada, like if you don't have, if there's no kosher restaurant, it's like you're living in the boondocks. Well, the psak is if there's no bakery, it's like you're living in the fields. Right? So that's the umutu lechol pasha bali batim. You'd even be allowed to eat the bread of the non-Jewish bali batim. V'im palter hizmin Yisrael, hari pito kapas bal habayis, v'im higia palter Yisrael, v'im palter hizmin Yisrael, if it was Yisrael set it aside, the palter invited a Jew, so that's like the balabai that we discussed last week. Okay, so that's, we don't have to cover that. That's enough for here. Let's flip back to the Shulchan Aruch itself. The Shulchan Aruch itself, Sif Kuf Yud Beis Sif Ches. Yish Misha Omer, right? So Yish Misha Omer, the v'makum she'in palter matzoi klal, mutar afilu shal bali batim, right? That if you don't have a baker that's found at all, so then it's keep your spot in the original, so not going to be here long. A matzoi klal, mutar afilu shal bali batim, even allowed to eat the non-Jewish owner's bread. Ve'in sarch lahamtin al pas kosher v'chein nogen. You don't have to wait for kosher bread. So what does it mean you don't have to wait for kosher bread? So in the Chelkas Binyamin, so he quotes from other sources that what he's talking, what he means is how far away do you have to be from bread? I mean, what's the distance that it would be that you would be considered without it? Well, let's say there's in the next town over, and how far is the next town over? What does that mean? So he says, like, well, mitzvah, like by a minyan, how far with a minyan? So if it's outside of a mil, so it's like 1 mil, and unless you're traveling, if you're traveling, then it's 4 mil forward, but if you're not traveling, then it's 1 mil in your surrounding area. So that's the din. So he says, A, 1 mil, and B, let's say you know there's a person coming that's less than a mil away, so you'd have to wait for that person to come in order to buy bread from him. So the Chelkas Binyamin points out, that's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. That's the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah is saying, if there's nobody around, so then, what is nobody around meaning? Within a mil, so within 18 minutes. However, the Ramah is saying, but we could be more makel, that if he's not in town right now, so then you could buy from the Pas Bal Habayis. You can buy from your non-Jewish neighbor his bread. So that's Sif Ches, not so relevant. Otherwise, truth is, it just hit me now. Maybe it is relevant. If you live in a place, what do you mean there's no bakery? So no Jewish baker, no non-Jewish bakery. When we've been talking about a non-Jewish bakery, what have we been referring to? We've been referring to a kosher non-Jewish bakery, correct? Uh-huh. Right? So let's say you live in a place where there's no kosher bakery, Jewish or non-Jewish. Right? So there's plenty of places like that. Right? So then could you rely on this ra? If you live in to eat your neighbor. Not to eat your neighbor, to eat the bread made by your neighbor. If you could ascertain that your neighbor made kosher bread, right?
The difference is you can always go to the supermarket and get kosher bread.
So Bizman has that, right? There's always bread available, right?
Most people don't even get the bread in the bakery.
Right, although I will tell you, O Easterner, that when you live, even in Phoenix, finding kosher bread in Phoenix was not pashut. After a couple of years it was easier, but pretty much the only thing you could, there were some kosher bakeries that, whatever, but like in the supermarket, the only thing you could buy were Lender's bagels. That was pretty much the only kosher bread that you could buy on a mass scale.
But nowadays, you wouldn't actually need to go to your non-Jewish neighbor to bake bread because you get like bread machines and stuff like that.
That's true. So that's discussed.
Was it not common?
He talks about that. Would you have to make it yourself?
Was it not common for people at this time to have their own oven? And people have
correct. So yeah, it's also true. Right? People probably didn't have to. People even until 100 years ago didn't have their own oven. My grandmother talks about the chulent man, the chulent deliverer. You know, she used to bring as a young girl. My grandmother told me she used to you put a piece of tape, I don't know if it was tape, but something on the pot. You label it as you put it in the bakery over Shabbos, and then Shabbos day you would go retrieve your chulent. It could be they had an oven in their house, but to leave it on all the Shabbos is gefirlich, all the heat that would be used. So they would leave it by the bakery. Okay, so back to the Beis Yosef now. So now I move on to, I don't know, maybe the most famous halacha when it comes to Pasakum, Bishalakum, etc. And that is, how involved does a Jew have to be? So it used to be, right, especially if you had like a maid and stuff like that, that many of these halachos were totally, at least inside the house, were irrelevant. Because everybody had a pilot light, right? So the pilot light, you light the pilot light, and then everything comes off the pilot light. So, and then the Jew's involved. Although we'll see if that's enough. That's what we're going to discuss, right? So, I don't know who here still has a pilot light. Anybody?
I have one on
your oven.
Jimmy Carter oven.
I have one of my friends.
Right. So you would do also. Okay.
On my work heater.
No. For your on your stove.
No.
Yes, so we're the only one. So as Mordechai Willig used to point out that amongst the many things that Jimmy Carter did for the Jews, he ossered the pilot lights. Which makes Yontif and these things and Bishalakum, etc., much worse. So we'll see why that is. So the Beis Yosef is Tess. I don't know if you were able to find it so easily. Tess, it's after what we learned. It's so, what we learned. It's, for me, it's the next page. There's Tess. Tess is on the inside column, right? He quotes here from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Perek in Ma'amidin. So skip the tour is actually quoting something very relevant for, I don't know if we're going to get to it tonight, but later on in this. But the Beis Yosef itself, in Perek in Ma'amidin, says, Amar Ravina, Hilchos Ahai Rifted the Shagar Goy Va'afi Yisrael, that if you have dough that was needed by a Goy and a Jew baked, Inami Shagar Yisrael, Shagar Yisrael Va'afa Goy, that the Jew needed and the guy put in inami shagar guy va'afa guy va'asi Yisrael v'chata b'chitui shavir dami, or the non-Jew took care of all of the bread related things and put it in the oven, and then a Jew came and shook around the coals a little bit, so that would be all that is sufficient. That's sufficient Jewish involvement to take care of any bishul akum shilas.
Because he doesn't make it and he doesn't put it in the oven.
Correct.
Well, the shagar means scent, right? What sugar?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Maybe needed.
That's why I thought it meant needed. But you're.
Tess.
Anyone?
Tess.
Well, it's
paragraph
test.
I was down here. Look at the very bottom. You'll see a test.
Yeah, we learned
tests,
3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Jewish involvement could be putting it in the oven.
Correct.
That somebody else can make it, but
right.
Baking.
So this Gemara is going even further.
You're saying
he's saying even if the Najah takes care of everything and the Jew just comes and rattles around the coals, so that's sufficient. that's in the Gemara. The Svar Kasafti Barosh Simon Zed, the Naktinan, right? Barosh Simon Zed, good memory, Richard. Right, the Naktinan Kedivi Harambam Harashba, the Pas Goyim Nami Shari Ayadei Achas Misholosh Malachos Elu. That the Pas Goyim, that Gemara is not actually about Pas Akum. That Gemara is actually about Bishal Akum. Right, that if a Jew is involved to the extent with any of these in terms of Bishal, that would be okay. And then you go and say, we extend it to Pas Akum as well. Fine. So then we continue on. Mechasav Adoni Avi. So he then goes on and quotes his father. V'teima almasha noogim ha'idna lahakil ba'ashlochas kisim latanar. He says, I don't know, the Rush was like bothered by this. What is this? It all of a sudden became a custom that people don't necessarily rattle around the coals. They just take a splinter and flick that in. And that's sufficient to be considered the Jewish involvement. So the Rush wasn't so happy about this. So now he goes and, now the Beis Yosef goes and quotes the Rush in its entirety. Raizel Lashon Hosham, Lachora Muchach Bakula Shmeisen de Be'inan Shehe Yisrael Mikari of Abishal. That it has to be, the Rush says, that a Jew has to at least help the cooking somewhat. Right, that you have to, by rattling around the coals, so at least you're in theory making it hotter and you're encouraging it to cook faster. It says v'teimal mashenago idna, and it's wild what the, I don't understand what they're doing now. Right, advishum chayi nefesh, which we just quoted what they're doing now. They just take a splinter and throw it in. Advishum chayi nefesh, that maybe it's because of the chayi nefesh. Ve'esha shenagu harishon b'tchilas hesiku shel tanur shenasim bo haYisrael, that maybe the earlier people used to light the tanur, shenasim bo Yisrael ma'at kechalim, that the Jew used to put in the coals. And maybe what used to happen was the Jew used to put in the coals, this is how it started. The Jews would put in the coals, right? The kisim la'alos and the shalheves, and they would light a fire. Hilkach afal pisha hosiv goy be'etzim. So therefore, once the Jews started it, even though the non-Jews are throwing in wood, behesik va'afa kevesh etchias hadlakas hamadur nasis be'Yisrael nikir kol hesik al shemo. That because a Jew started it, so all the cooking is considered as if it came from a Jew. So that was the Rishon. I mean, the earlier generations, that's what they did. I mean, the Jew would start it, and the non-Jew would continue it, and all of it was emanating from the Jew, and therefore it was all Bishul Yisrael, or Pas Yisrael. V'achronim ro, so then the later generations saw this, v'hekilu, and they were mekil b'ashlachas kisim afil b'achrona. Instead of making sure everything was set up in the beginning and letting the non-Jews continue on, they would just throw in a little splinter even towards the end. The Hagrif Goris Vaati Yisrael Vahadar Hadruri Shapir Dami Perishemahapich Bapas Lakari Bishulo. And the Rif's language is that a Jew comes and like turns things around, meaning what? That he actually makes the fire go faster. So the Rush is agreeing with, I believe this is all still the Rush, yeah. The Rush is quoting, he quotes from the Rif and says, the Rif actually says what I think, that you have to actually flip things around. Right? You have the Rush and the Rif, so it seems like you should have the majority, right? The Rambam, however, writes, that even if a Jew only throws in one piece of wood, the Tocha Tanner, into the oven, hitir kol hapashino. That matters all of the bread. Because the whole thing isn't necessarily that, you know, yes, it's true, everybody, you know, the reason is because of the non-Jews, we don't want them to like the non-Jews, we're going to like his bread so much, we're going to marry his daughter, and all that kind of stuff. Yes, it's true, but really the gezeira is that you need a hecker. You need something to say, realize that we're going to make a change in order to make this Pas Yisrael rather than Pas Akum, and it could be almost symbolic. Right? It could be almost symbolic. I mean, just throwing in a splinter is almost just symbolic, but that's really the goal. That's what the Rambam says. You need to have a hecker. Rather than taking control of the process, you really just need a hecker. And it says, V'lishna de Gemara lo mashmachi. The Rush concludes by saying, but that doesn't sound like, that's not what it sounds like in, from the Gemara. V'hanach li'Yisrael shiyu shogigin avkashon. Let the Jews be shogigin. I mean, it sounds like what he's concluding is saying, mutar shayu shogigin v'al yehei mazidin, right? Better to let them violate a b'shogig rather than to yell at them and they're going to violate it anyways, and you're going to have a problem b'mazid. So the Rush Rosh is against it. You see, he quotes the Rip to be against it, right? And the Rambam is for it. The Rambam says all you need to do is throw in a splinter. We don't have a Gemara Avodah Zarah there, do we? On that shelf anywhere? No, I don't think so. I forget. Don't worry about it. So I believe no. So on that daf in Maseches Avodah Zarah, so Tosos there seems to be siding like the Rav. Sort of a sign like the Rush. He says, nearly, that it seems to me that it has to be that you actually do something to actually encourage, that you actually do something to encourage the cook. I'm so excited because, you know, Ari's not here. I can, like, stretch my feet out. Sorry. Without kicking over. Yeah. So he says, nearly, it seems to me, the Tosfos says, that it needs that you need to encourage it. He says, but he quotes the same thing at the Rush, but I look around and I see all these people that are just like flipping in a splinter, and that's, you know, they throw in a toothpick and they consider that being involved with cooking. So he then goes on to quote a sefer, did I write it down here? The Dvarim Sheyesh Ben Bavel Eretz Yisrael. So it seems like he's quoting a sefer. I think he actually might be quoted here someplace also. Someplace in the Beis Yosef also. It seems like it's like some kind of book that was, or not a book, but some kind of writings that were around that he's quoting from, right, to say that, yeah, really all it has to be is a hacker. Right, so Tosfos likes the Rush and also is bothered by this custom and defends the practice a little bit. Right, but it seems like they're not so comfortable with it. So continues on the Beis Yosef, and he quotes from the Rashba. Right, and the Rashba, custom of Torah Sabbais, that the Ramban quotes the Rambam, and the Ramban got all upset at the Rambam. And then the Rashba goes on to defend it. Then the Rashba changes tracks, and he goes on to defend it for the same reason. And then I'm never going to find it. But right in the middle, it says Elakach Nirin Hadvarim, Elakach Nirim Hadvarim, Devimukomos Shenagu Lechol Pas Shel Goyim Min Apalter. Anybody have any idea where we are?
Yeah, it's the bottom of the one line, where the spaces go up 1, 2, 3, 4 lines up to Pas Shel Goyim. See the white lines here? 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, that's one, thanks.
So Elakach Nirin Hadvarim. So it seems to be the Rashba concludes by saying, Shenagu lechol pas shel goyim min hapalter hayu makilim bepas shel Yisrael b'hashlachas kizim. Then a place where they would eat the bread of non-Jews from a bakery, so they should be makel and eat and allow pas shel Yisrael b'hashlachas kizim l'tanur l'hachak mehem. Right, that if you're going to be makel on pas palter, so if you want, you might as well then have the Jew throw in a splinter, and that way you at least get past Yisrael according to multiple shitas, right? I mean, if that's not the minhag, I mean, the minhag is that they are makbid on pas palter, then you actually have to do one of the malachos, ad kan dvarav. Kisim wouldn't work. And all these are because of the kulos of the pot, of bread, and minhag Yisrael Torah. So that's the Rashba. The Ran, I believe, also continue quotes the Ramban. And then if you look a little bit further on, it says Ulinyan Halacha, right? That should be the beginning of the next section. It says Ulinyan Halacha, Tes Yud Aleph.
Yeah.
Right? Ulinyan Halacha, Kivan Shaharambam Baharashba Maskimim Lahatir Bashlachas Eitz. Because the Rambam and the Rashba agree to throwing in the piece of wood. And the reason the Rambam gives is a good reason. And because it's also what people are doing anyways, so that's the way I'm going to pass it. A little weak. First of all,
that you can flick in a,
correct.
A weak effort.
Well, it's not a weak effort. He's defending the minhag. But it's also a little odd. It's not really what the Rashba said. Rashba never was makel. Rashba was saying if you're makel on pas palter, so then you might as well, you could do this and call it pas Yisrael. But he never actually said that he should do that, right? But the Beis Yosef, and also what's interesting, and Bob is gonna I'm sure, is churning about this, right? It's, he's violating the rules. He's against the rules, right? The Rash, the Riff and the Rush say one way, the Rambam goes the other, and the Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Yosef goes ahead and passes like the Rambam. It could be because the Rush himself is kind of a little weak-kneed on it, right? The Rush himself is kind of saying, yeah, that's what everybody's doing, etc. And Minhag Yisrael Torah, that also solves a couple things. So that's the way the Beis Yosef passes. If you take a look...
We're talking here about Balabaitis, right?
No, we're talking here about making it past Yisrael.
Okay,
so making it past Yisrael. So now if we go to the Shulchan Aruch itself... So, Hidlik Ovikuchavim HaTanur, Vafabo Yisrael. So, Hidlik Ovikuchavim HaTanur, Vafabo Yisrael. So, a non-Jew lit the fire and the Jew baked it. Oh, Shahidlik Yisrael, Vafabovikuchavim. Or the Jew lit it and the non-Jew baked it.
My baking means putting
in the oven. Oh, Shahidlik Ovikuchavim, Vafabovikuchavim. Or the non-Jew lit it and baked it, Uva Yisrael, Vinir Ha'esh. And the Jew came in like, shook around the fire a little bit. That's mutter. Vafilo Zark Ela Eitzachad. Even if he only threw in one piece of wood the tochatanur, hitir kol hapashiv. That's going to matter all the past. She'in hadavar ella lios hacker. Then goes on to quote the Rambam, right? Because it's only a hacker she'pashal lehen asur, that their bread is prohibited. So it's not, you know, it's just like a matir. It's not necessarily that it has to be that we're taking control of the process. The Rama adds in ve'im nafach be'esh havik chitui, that even blowing at the fire, that's already considered like chitui. And you see there's a little quotation to the Gra. The Gra quotes some Gemara in Baba Kama that I didn't look up, but I assume is saying over there something to the effect of, you see, that blowing is considered an action.
So who's it hacker for? I mean, because I'm coming and you're saying something's pas Yisrael. I don't know to what extent that you has been involved in the baking process. And if you just like blew on me.
Yes, I think it's a plane. I think it's more for you. I think it's talking to you. I think we have. I mean, we'll see. I don't know if Bishlak won't be like this. Later on in this, in the big books that you have, is the entire section on Hilchos Ribbis. So Hilchos Ribbis, you kind of get that feel when you learn it, that there's so many ways out of it being a violation. You pretty much end up doing whatever you need to do, right? That so what the mitzvah falls away. So I think you have mitzvahs that we have that you bow your head to that. I mean, what's the idea of ribbis? The idea of ribbis is that, you know, we're brothers and you would never lend money to your friend to your brother on interest, etc. But the world needs to go on and business needs to happen. So so I think what the way it feels to me is you nod your head to the idea of achdus. And then you go and charge ribbis. Like, we point out that this is the ideal. I mean, we're going to make you sign a heter iska, right? But then the reality is that this is the way business needs to go. So I think we have several halachos like that. And really, that's what's going on here. I mean, you do something to point out that we're not with them. You know, if we were really with them, we wouldn't even have to go and throw in the toothpick. The fact that I'm throwing in the toothpick reminds me that we're not one of the same.
Yeah, selling chametz.
So back then when they said. Selling with Pas Yisrael, it could have been mixed by the Jew, kneaded by the Jew, put it in the oven.
Correct.
By the Jew that he lit himself.
Not even today.
Or as little as somebody flicking in a piece
Correct.
Of wood.
We do today.
So would there be levels of Pas Yisrael that might be acceptable
yes, to... So I was wondering about that. Even...
I mean, how do you know what it means when it's... I mean,
I mean, if it says on the label Pas Yisrael, what does that mean?
Right.
Right. So I think it means this machaber that there's a Jew involved. Yeah, look, we the community kashrus says Nick's bagels are Pas Yisrael when the sign's up. Why? Because Mr. Globman goes and lights the fire in the morning. I think we pass it like this.
There's no like glot Israel.
Yes, I was wondering. I mean, there are.
My daughter lit the fire when she was working for me.
I think we do have multiple levels of. We've seen here multiple levels of who needs to be machmir on it.
Okay.
Right? Like we've had, if there's no one else around, we just, tonight, if right. there's no one else, if there's no bakery at all, so then you can even eat paspalabais. If there's a bakery around, you rely on paspalabais. If there's a Jew around, so then you got to eat the pas Yisrael, unless you can't get the same value or the right. same value. Rather than, and then there's pas Yisrael that you wouldn't even do that. I mean, I'm wondering, is Manazeb? I was listening a couple of weeks ago to Rev. Radinsky has a couple of shir on Pas Yisrael. So he made a comment in the middle that if you live in Muncie, so there's no reason why you should be machmir on Pas Yisrael. Okay, I hear that. So what if you live in Muncie and then you take a ride down to Philadelphia and then you take a ride out to Arizona? Right? So what's your halacha? Are you... If somebody says I'm machmer and Pas Yisrael, does it mean you're machmer where you are? And then if you, I mean, the real din of Pas Yisrael seems to be that if you end up traveling someplace where there's no bread around, one has the right to say, okay, here I'm going to eat Pas Palter.
My son brought up his only Pas Yisrael at home. Maybe to leave.
I mean, in his house.
Yashan. Well, I don't know whether it's his house.
Well, Yashan is a big difference.
Yashan and Pas Yisrael, with both. If it comes to our house, I'll eat.
My son Daniel is on my.
He won't do that for Chol
Yisrael in Atlanta.
Uh-huh. Right, so those are personal. Those are personal chumras.
Even here.
What?
Pas Yisrael.
Well, I mean, but those are personal. I mean, that's right, a right. personal chumra. Somebody, I mean, and you, I mean, you have that in mind. You can make whatever tonight you want, right? But if without any tonight, a person says, I want to be makbid on the Yish Nogin in this. I don't want to, like I'm chaver, not like the Rama, right? So now you go through the halachos. Okay, what does that mean exactly? So it seems like it would mean that the Mechaber would be maskim that if you go to a place where it's difficult to get Pas Yisrael bread, you have the right to eat, even according to the Mechaber, to eat Pas Palter. Right? But I'm not sure that's what, you know, I'm not sure real, you know, if someone says I'm not Pas Yisrael, I'm not sure that's what they mean.
I just wanted to revisit my question. I mean, up to now we've been dealing with Palter, and all of a sudden we have this thing with throwing in the toothpick or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Now, are we talking here about what kind of setup?
That's to make it Pas Yisrael. I would think it would even be in someone's house.
What you could eat.
I would say it would even be in someone's house.
All of a sudden we're saying, it doesn't say anything here about Pas Yisrael.
No, this is the din. The din is, in Paso Mara, Hidlik Obi Kochavim. So we're going to call that Hareza Mutter. So what does he mean by Mutter? I think he means Mutter that it's considered Pas Yisrael. Yeah. Okay. Right, yeah, even in your neighbor's house. I think even in Malabai's.
I can make a question. Even within the context of Pas Yisrael, how do you know how involved the Jew was in begging the bread that we call Pas Yisrael?
Right. So this is actually, on this topic that we just learned, I think it's an interesting thing because, you know, if this kind of setup was in other areas of halacha, right, that you have most of the Rishonim going one way, and you have the Rambam going the other way, right, a lot of people would be machmer on those other Rishonim, even against the Shulchan Aruch. I mean, if this was an Orach Chaim and Hilchos Shabbos, I'm sure the Mishnah Berurah would be on the bottom saying, "We ain't no again," right? And we don't have that here. I think that most people even if you say you're machmer on Pas Yisrael, you would be make a like the Rambam against the other Rishonim. I think that's what national kashrus organizations do. Yeah. You get the Pas Yisrael lists around the Aser Simei Tshuva time. I think that's what most of them are doing. Yeah.
But it's not the electronic, like flipping a switch from like your home or something to that. That's not.
Yeah. So I saw.
It has to be something more active.
So hold on, let's do one more sif and then we can talk a little bit more. The next sif is relevant to that. Okay, so let's go back to the base Yosef. Sif Yud. Where would I find Sif Yud in here? Maybe
there wasn't. I don't know what gender inclusions. Because this is difficult, but I would say it's probably after tests.
No. That's don't go there. Not in this sip. No.
So, but test was over here. No, it's not.
Oh, there. Yud is in the Yud. No, that's the Bach. There it is. Yud. It is after test. Kasava Agur. Yeah.
Agur. Kasava Agur. Right here.
Right. The Yud with a little aleph means that it's only half of Yud.
Yud with an aleph in parentheses?
Yeah, that's what the little parentheses means. There's more, and I'm not seeing where the more is. There's more. Where is it? No. There was more. There's a Mordechai someplace. Okay, so what does the Agur say? We'll read that first. Kasava Agur, v'shem atosus, v'shem hitli Yisrael kisim, v'tanor, mol kol yimei ha-shavua ad yom rishon. That if you throw a splinter in, it works for the entire week. That's what the Agur quotes in the name of Tosos. V'kula yiseirihi. And the Beis Yosef himself adds in the line, that sounds like a little extreme, just like Sheldon said. Like, whoa, that's a little bit far.
That's when the fire never goes out?
No, even if the fire goes out. We'll see. The Efshar, so if you take a look at the dark, at the end of there is a little Zion in parentheses that sends you to the dark emotion. That's the dark emotion is in the bottom here. That's the Ramah. The Efshar, the Mayri, the Inyan, Shekasov, the Isser, Shehaisser, the Hetar, Aruch, the Hainu, Shalom, Amad, Yom, Shalom, Beli, Hasek. What that means is that maybe what the Agur meant was. Notice that it says Vishem Tosos. It doesn't look like we know where that Tosos is, right? It doesn't quote the Tosos. Right? The Dark Malicious says maybe it means as long as it didn't go 24 hours without the fire being on. Okay, so that's the suggestion of the Dark Emotion to make it a little more palatable. Now.
What's Tom Gross got to do with it?
Hold on. Oh, there it is, Yud Beis. So toward the second to last paragraph in the in Simon Kuf Yud Gimel, you go to the very end of Kuf Yud Gimel. So the last paragraph is Yud Beis Kasav Od Mordechai. Right before it is Yud with Beis in parentheses, where it says also Kasav Od Mordechai.
You mean Kuf Yud Gimel, not Kuf Yud Beis?
The end of Simon Kuf Yud Beis. We're learning Simon Kuf Yud Beis right now.
Yeah.
So the very end of the Beis Yosef on Simon Kuf Yud Beis, right? The last paragraph says Kasav Od Mordechai, and the paragraph before that says Kasav Od Mordechai.
Yeah, that's
true.
That's
right.
Kasav Mordechai?
Right, so there you have
the
Yud Beis.
After
Okay.
Right. So what is the Mordechai? See, as you can see, the Mordechai has a couple things to say on this topic. So what does he say there? He says, "Inafa hapas betaner shel goy below chitoy uvelo kisim." If you if you bake bread in a non-Jew's oven, below chitoy uvelo kisim, afilu im karmu pnei hapas betaner moil chitoy di Yisrael achar kach kolzman shapas tzarach letaner. That if you put it in, as long as the bread is still in there and assuming everything is clean, so you can shake things around as long as the bread is still in there. As long as the bread still needs the oven, right? You can continue to work on it. And you're enhancing the bread, and it's as if it was finished off by a Jew. So to buy a cooked thing, it would work. Even after it was already Michael Ben Jusai. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong one.
He pointed to this one.
I'm reading the wrong one. Go up. I'm waiting to see what was the part that I was looking that I wanted to read. Okay, Yud with the base in parentheses. I'm sorry about that. Kasav Od Mordechai. Ma'ase Bali Day Al Tanur She'afu Bo Yisrael Gimel Pamim Bayom. That it happened once. She'afu Bo Yisrael Gimel Pamim Bayom. That a Jew cooked in an oven three times over the course of the day. And how they permit it, so that he made it past Israel by throwing in the splinter each and every time. And then he took it out and reheated it again, put a splinter back in. Everything was fine. Except the last time, the last time he didn't kasher the oven by putting in the thing. So that was the shaila that was brought to the Mordechai. So the Mordechai paskin voresi, I paskin the filu haki pashanafa bachron mutar. Said even that last loaf of bread, which you didn't heat up and you didn't put in the splinter, right? That's still going to be mutter. Why? To came in shech shira osu b'shar hasikos. Because the other times you did it, that's okay. But gama fi achrona nishar ksas be'ein min hakechalim havoaros min hasikos harishonos. Because you probably didn't clean out the oven. The oven still contained some things, some embers that were still glowing from the first time you were cooking in there. Shech shira taner vaday mutter. So therefore, it should be okay. Afal fi shelo zarek yisrael kisim b'fi achrona, even though he didn't throw it in. Why? That's because hakisim ein amayla. That doesn't really add, but it doesn't help the thing itself. I don't think I wanted to make it mutter l'chadchila. So he's saying that there is a hecker, even though it's not a hecker this time, there's a hecker from before, because there's still some coals that are being left over from before. So Mordechai comes along and says that that's okay. So we actually have three shittas here. We have the shittas of the Mordechai, which is mattering over the course of the day. If you used it twice already in a kosher way, and now you want to use it one more time, so the Mordechai says, that's okay, we'll matter that bread. Perhaps only b'dieved. Right, perhaps only b'dieved. Then we have the safer. We have the Darkei Moshe saying that over the course, you could use the same oven over the course of the week, as long as it didn't go 24 hours without being cold. Right, that's the Darkei Moshe. And you have the Mos Mekel, which is the Agur, which says that once you light at the beginning of the week, you're good for the rest of the week. Even if the oven goes out in the middle, it's no problem. Okay, so those are the three. Those are the three shittas. So now we take a look in the Shulchan Aruch itself. So in the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yud, so this is kind of finishing up the extremes of how little does it you have to be involved in. So Pascha Yisrael Yisrael Sha'afa Ove Kochavim Belichi Tuidi Yisrael. If you have bread of a Yisrael, I just read the wrong thing. Sorry, Sif Yud. Wow, I'm having trouble. Im Afu Betanur Al Yidei Ove Kochavim. If the oven was heated by non-Jews, Gimel Pamim Bayom, three times over the course of the day. V'chshir HaTanur Al Yidei Kisim Beveiz Pamim. And the Jew mattered it by putting in a kisim twice over the course of the day. Right? Uva Pama Shlishis Lo Hichiru. Still it's going to be Mutter, right? And he's quoting Mordechai. That's a Shittas Mordechai. Comes the Ramah. Even if you only did it once, and the oven wasn't left 24 hours without being lit up, without being fiery, or without being on. Even if you kept that routine going for many days, it's all mutter because of that first lighting. You have the right to rely on this. Okay, so the Rama is make it like his shita in the Darkei Moshe. So why is that working? So in the Sefer Chelkos Binyamin, he adds in the following. He says, "Venira devetanurim hametzuyim bevatim shalanu." That in our ovens is manhazeh lo shayech dinzeh. It doesn't make sense. Why? It doesn't make sense. This halacha. If they should tanurim elu lo nasu meavanim. Our ovens aren't made from stones, v'cheres or clay. Ve'in machzikin cholman. It doesn't retain the heat. Kim lizman mur, except for a very short amount of time. Mishar gemar hashimush. From the conclusion of its usage, behem. Then they become totally cold, as if they were never hot in the first place. Therefore, there's no room to say that the original heat should continue working. You see with your own eyes that it doesn't work. As long as it hasn't become cold, so then one has the right to rely on this. So we have these kulas here, which we say, which he says, because the only thing is that it doesn't work. Now, you know, if you go to a stone oven and have it boiling hot for a while and then you let it cool off, you know, somehow I doubt that it's going to take 24 hours before it cools down. I don't know, I'm not an expert, but we have a physicist here, right? No, sort of.
No, not a physicist.
Sort of, but in the sciences.
We did visit the Amish farm once. They have these stone ovens outside.
Right.
Bake the bread. The wood would all be burned out, and they could still bake a cake.
Huh?
So it does stay hot for that way. So
okay.
The same as 24 hours. That's
okay. All right. That's something, though. Okay, so that so although it is interesting, the limitations of this and does give you coolas with regards to, you know, as long as, so meaning that, by the way, is the cooler for the pilot light. By the way, our ovens, right? If your oven has a pilot, pre 1976 oven, right?
My friends got some.
Right. So the oven is hot. We leave the challahs in Friday night, the oven's still hot for a long time after, then the pilot, and there's a pilot light on the whole time. So it could be that this din would work. I mean, it would work anyways, plus it's being lit off a pilot light, so it would work anyways. But that's the extreme permissibility that we have with these
levels.
What?
You have a problem with Paspalter in your house?
Well, not now. You know, maybe we haven't hired in home help or anything like that, but... Yeah.
Just a conceptual question. Let's say I'm baking bread in a wood fuel oven. So I'm the Jew. I put the wood in Sunday night. Monday morning, the baker comes in, fires up the oven. That doesn't help.
Yeah, so that's what the rush was quoting from the Rishonim, right? That rush, that when the rush was all perturbed, that people would just throw in the splinter. So what was the rush? The rush's theory was that it came from this idea that the Jews would do what? That the Jews, in the beginning, they would. It sounds like they would prepare, right? Hagoy the eats and behesik the offer. That's what it sounds like, right? But at least the secret shall tanner shnosim b'vay Yisrael ma'at kechalim v'kisim lahalos shall heves. But it doesn't actually light it, right? He puts in the coals.
Yeah, I don't know the lights.
And kisim in order to get it started. The hasik means he lit it, right?
Yeah.
So it sounds like the guy is doing the lighting. So it sounds like it should be okay.
Yeah, so then what does it matter if it stays hot? There's still a little bit of my wood left.
Right, that's what the Mordechai was saying, I think. So the Mordechai was saying that you threw in more stuff. He threw in more services because there was still wood left from the beginning, so that's okay.
Well, this is three times in one day where it's still going to be hot.
Right.
But it sounds like you wouldn't necessarily agree if it was off for a day or something. It wouldn't be good, but you still have some wood in there from the first splinter or whatever, from the first piece.
Right, so why wouldn't that be okay?
Yeah, I'm just wondering what the deal is. Does he have to put it in while the thing's baking?
Well, it sounds like it's a difference between putting the wood in before the oven is lit and throwing a splinter into the lit oven.
Right, no, it sounds like they should both be good.
They should both be good, though.
Why should the former be good? You haven't done anything.
You set it up. So the rush says it's even better. I mean, I don't understand. Yeah. It's weird. The rush was saying these people that just threw in the splinters, where they get it from? Oh, because probably in the original, earlier on, the Rishonim, they used to do the good way. They used to set up the fire beforehand and have it all set, and then let the non-Jew carry it out later. And so Nebuch, and then it kind of got flipped around later on.
So they would hold that if you set up a wood and don't light it, you don't do anything else. You just set the wood up, and then you go about your business. And the non-Jews come in, and they mix the batter, they form the bread, they light the oven, they put it in, they take it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Even though you haven't done anything active.
Well, you started.
The baking process.
That's what
you, haven't lit, you haven't lit the fire.
Even though you didn't... That's my reading in the rush, but you're... And you would think that would be in Shulchan Aruch someplace, and we haven't seen it in Shulchan Aruch any place that you could even do that. So it's a little bit... I've got to figure that out. I'm not sure. All right, so I promise we'd get back to this, why it's worse to have a Jewish-owned bakery than a non-Jewish-owned bakery. So that's Sif Yud Aleph, so we'll cover that position next.
Sure.
Next one, yeah?